Needs-based. Jung process model is basing off of your background as a trainer. The question now is, what got you into that? How did you get into that, and how has the journey been so far?
Well, yeah, so maybe the long and short story of that is that I was really more of a marketing professional. I did tell you that I was the advertising person behind Downy, starting a new category and all that. It's satisfying to do marketing and advertising, but I realized that my real passion is really more on teaching or training other people. So whether it's presenting or coaching somebody else. So basically it's growth and development. I like the idea of that. And I think that was partly influenced by my involvement in church. I don't know if you're familiar with what happens in churches, but the idea of discipling another person, I mean, yung growth process of leading somebody from point A to point B, making somebody aware, making somebody change their attitude, the levels of change. You accept things, you acknowledge, and then you change your attitude, and then with the change of attitude, there are behavioral changes that you will do, actionable points, and all of that combined becomes your habit, and then before you know it, it becomes your culture, your DNA. So I like the entire idea of leading somebody to change or transformation. So I like the concept of training, and then I met people from the Ken Blanchard group. And I don't know if you or the listeners know him, but he's an 80 plus year old man who is popular in the he's a well-respected leadership expert. He actually came up with situational leadership, one-minute manager, raving fans, among the many principles that we use right now in customer service, leading another person, coaching another person. And when I saw that, and I saw that in him, I said to myself, I want to be just like that. I want to do what he's doing. Mm-hmm. And so that's how I ended up. At first, Mendy, I was side hustling lang. So I had a full-time job. I kept my marketing career up to the point that I became chief marketing officer of a tech company. So that was parang one of those parang highlight of my marketing career. But I was side hustling on the side. I was doing leadership workshops. After workshop, there was even a time that I was hired by a BPO, so panggabi, obviously.
Wow.
And then in the morning, I was conducting training. So imagine how gruesome that could be. So I thought kaya ko, but in my young mind, I thought kaya ko. But then bumigay yung katawan ko, and I felt I really just have to choose one. So when everything was becoming better in terms of income. Kasi variable income eh. I don't get a regular salary for conducting trainings. Mm-hmm. When the incoming cash is more than what my monthly salary is like, or even double, I felt like, okay, it's time to resign now. And so when
definitely.
I resigned, I took the gamble of the entrepreneurial gamble, and that's where the variable income started. And I was very blessed to have a business partner who was shouldering the cost for a while, because otherwise we wouldn't have kicked off this business to where it is right now.
How did you? Okay, so I was gonna ask how you marketed yourself, no? Pero marketing professional nga ka na pala. How did you begin to fabricate the business? Because your business would be through developing a program and then modules and then eventually engaging with whoever is going through the program. What was the process of you doing that?
Well, designing was easy. It's like it's actually hard for some people, but it's like doing a lesson plan, right? But there came a point in, if you kept doing the same modules over and over again. So even with your eyes closed, you could do that. So I always like designing new ones. It's a treat for me because I get to learn new things. So and that's the one of the secret of learning practitioners, is that you never stop learning, right? So you always try to learn new frameworks, new principles, and the idea is to learn one principle or one framework and to see how you could use that to give examples, illustrations, in our profession, we call it structured learning experiences.
Mm-hmm.
So for some people, akala nila workshop games, but it's actually, we want you to experience something, kaya siya structured learning, so that you could learn something from that experience, because we know that experience is the best teacher. So if we could do that on a regular basis, even in commissioned learning sessions, then mas maganda, diba? So the process there was quite simple in terms of designing. I think the hardest part was acquiring knowledge or content or license to content, because sometimes may nagmamay-ari na ng mga content.
So I was gonna ask that eh. Parang like do you write the entire, or do you design the entire program by yourself, or there should be existing, and if you use those existing ones, how do you, like, what's the process around that?
Yeah, there was a time that we were using intellectual properties or IP assets from other companies, like I mentioned Ken Blanchard, right? Mm-hmm. Or John Maxwell, or
there you go. See, Blanchard and Maxwell. Yeah, these are people that I know that we most definitely had books in.
they're the legendary. So or Jay Levinson or Patrick Lencioni. So you always have to subscribe to them or pay royalties. But in the last 5 years, I think it has shifted. I think we started developing our own.
Mm-hmm.
And that's primarily because there's a lot of parang influencers like you come parang sprouting out from nowhere. Eventually, parang there's somebody who's doing this or somebody mm-hmm. who's doing that. And going back to what you said about a while ago, the how do you market yourself? And that's not an issue because I'm a marketer. I think I'm still constantly learning on how do you do this. So parang recently, I just got my hands on LinkedIn, and I'm so glad I did, because I think majority of our clients are coming from that platform.
Yes.
As opposed to Facebook. I don't think I have the energy for TikTok anymore, but it's really more we're learning that people are so independent creators right now, so we should follow the trend when it comes to learning and development. But we need to keep that credibility still. We just can't. I mean, it cheapens the profession when people.
Yeah, there's specific ways.
Things.
Yeah, there's specific ways to do it. What's your angle on LinkedIn? Have you figured it out?
Oh yeah. I think we've mastered it well. I think there's a significant following that we got from it. Actually, mm-hmm. Modesty aside, we were fairly rewarded by the efforts. There's this search for top 100 LinkedIn Filipinos to follow, blah blah, and then we started getting nominated, and eventually for the last 3 years we were in the list. So it just proves that whatever we're doing, it's working, I guess.
Yeah,
so,
that's crazy. Congratulations.
But the market that we're talking to is there. So
yeah.
We haven't really done much videos there, because I think, just like what you said, it's in YouTube and Facebook for right now. But
yeah. Oh, really? Hindi kayo masyado nag-videos on LinkedIn?
Konti viewers eh. So
really?
Maybe because people don't have time. They're professionals eh. So the baka ano.
Well, that's
baka
true.
Video is meron pa rin. We did a few videos collaboration for those people who have been doing videos for years. And then medyo alam mo yung nawawalan ako ng energy kapag less than 100 yung nanonood. So parang I feel like, okay, are we really doing this? But it's really that's the thing about LinkedIn. Well, at least I haven't seen a Filipino parang have so much traction pa in LinkedIn. So
mm-hmm.
So we were afraid that if we do it, we'll probably just have, I mean, less than 20 views. So
yeah. But yeah, that's really interesting. That's such a fascinating path to take, no? It's literally this is the definition of discarte for me. Because not a lot of people wake up one day or graduate after college and say, I want to build a training company or a company that helps leaders. You know, it's really out there, especially for dito sa atin locally, diba? As a matter of fact, I got an email at one time in my career, probably around 5 years ago. This was a company, siguro competitor niya to, that also trains. And then nakita ko yung mga tinetrain nilang companies. And then I went there, and then the lady, sorry guys, ah, this is just one really quick story of my life's experiences na nakakatawa is because pagdating ko doon, no, I was wearing short sleeves and kita yung mga tattoos ko, no? Kita yung mga tattoos ko, pero they invited me there on the basis of I think my resume or my CV or whatever was on there. Tsaka yung phone interview. When the lady saw me, she was like, kitang-kita mo sa mukha niya na disappointed siya kasi yung itsura ko. I think kalbo pa yata ako noon and I had tattoos. And so you're going through the interview and he's like, what's your experience on training? I said, well, I've been doing sales and marketing for this long and this long. Kasi sinabi ko yung experience ko. And it felt like she was just doing that interview for the sake of it. She didn't want anything to have to do with me because I had tattoos. And yung last na question ko was, sabi niya, do you have any other questions? Kulang na lang tawagin niya akong iho eh. Do you have any other questions? Sabi niya. Sabi ko, meron bang nagtitrain ng may tattoo? So sabi niya, actually wala. Ikaw, sabi niya, ikaw pala na interview ko na ganyan. And so, just really quick question, since you work with a lot of professionals, no? And leaders, does it matter the way they look? And the way they present themselves physically.
Oh yeah, definitely. I think I was for the longest time. I'm 49 now, and there was a time that I can't wait to be 40. Mm-hmm. I started out young too, Mendy. I was public speaking in large gatherings. You were at age 26, 27, and then I started conducting trainings at 28. And I remember a lot of executives, older executives, basically.
They looked down on
me. Looking down at the age. But I look so young. And there was a point that I wish I look older. Parang I wasn't really aging kagad. So I felt like, and that was my generation. I guess, in a way, I think your generation is luckier kasi many other companies are more open to that na. Parang, yeah. I think I benefit on this generation where I'm a little bit in between because my other colleagues who's older than me, mga 65, mga 60 and up, would normally complain that they get rejected because last minute they realize, oh, he's too old.
Yeah.
And we have a call center and they won't be able to relate to him. He's like their grandfather already.
So they would
go to me or somebody else na, And I felt na there was a time na ang laki ng stereotyping talaga. But it's not because of the look. I think it's really more of yung credibility. So
yeah.
And
tenure ganun.
Yeah. In my NAS daily course, I'm gonna talk about more of that combination, yung being courageous and credible and committed, and credibility is a big thing in training because it's knowledge based. So they need to see your credentials. Where did you graduate?
Yeah.
Is it a good university? Did you get your masteral? So medyo may ano siya, may bearing siya one way or another. But at the same time, even if you have all those credibilities, pero hindi ka naman courageous. You're not putting out yourself out there. You're not creating videos like what you're doing. Medyo parang how would they know you? The business card now is. Is your website, is your digital footprint.
Yeah.
Now, a lot of companies would like to type your name on the search button and see a lot of digital footprints. If they don't see any, hindi sila magkakaroon ng gana to invite you because they would think na my employees would not appreciate this, hindi sikat si ganito. So, at may ganun naman na, ano, na culture ngayon. So, I came from that very discriminating culture to young people. And right now it's quite balanced, but it's still there. But I really would like to advise people and even you na it's a combination of courage, putting yourself out there, credibility. I mean, when they check you out, and you don't really have to say it, hopefully they discover it. And they should discover it because parang nakakaya naman yata sayo that they invited you and they never really bothered.
And they never they never looked you up. That makes sense.
And then yung commitment, I mean how resilient is this person in creating a name in this career and forging on. So yung mga ano. So I think it's a good balance if I am to be fair in answering that question.
What's your take on, so most of the times, ano yung profile ng clients nyo? Kasi, you know how, so I have a couple of other clients, coaches in the US. And these coaches generally help out either individuals or SMEs, yun yung target nila.
Yeah.
Whereas
yeah.
in the Philippines, almost next to impossible for a small business or a small company to get someone to come and train their employees or you know figure out a process for them. What does your clientele look like here in the Philippines?
Well, the trade secret is this, and I'm sharing it to you. We categorize them to the following. So we have multinationals. So your multinationals are the P&Gs, Unilevers, and whatever company is present around the world, that's a multinational. So your next tier are your local corporations, and these are big ones. These are San Miguel, Unilab, Philippine Airlines, and what have you. And they behave like multinationals, mm-hmm. but they still have, you know, the Pinoy mindset. It depends on who owns them. Mm-hmm. If it's the Chinese family or the whatever.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
It's traditional pa rin. And then you have a large part of that, and it's probably 60%. Yung MSMEs, bago na yung definition, diba? Micro, small, medium-sized enterprises. So you don't have just SMEs, you really have micro enterprises out there. And that's a good thing, kasi thank you kila Go Negosyo and everybody else, yeah. DTI, who actually promoted that. And that could be your market, and I would say mabubuhay ka na just for that, just with that. And even for our company and our size, we're targeting that group. So we have a specific program for the MSMEs, and then
wow.
we still maintain our multinationals and large corporations because we've always had them.
Yeah.
And we want to cultivate that. But I want to encourage people out there kasi malaking market pa rin yun. And eventually, pagbibigyan mo nga lang yung mababang presyo nila.
Mm-mm.
But then, it's really volume over value, di ba? Parang paramihan na lang. So, pakyawan. So, kung kaya ng energy mo naman, di, why not? So, every day, if they pay you 10,000 per day, then it's still a good amount of money if you look at it from a 20-day working period if you want to work that way.
Mm-hmm.
But yun nga, the bigger you go, it's really value over volume. So, and you want that kasi your most precious possession is your time. And I always tell this to other entrepreneurs. So if I own my time, that's actually, that's how I would like to live. I don't want to be managed by another person or another entity. So it's really value over volume. But yun nga, if you're starting, it's volume over value, and that's fine. You get a big piece of the pie anyway. And just to encourage then another category, Mendy, is that we Filipinos as learning practitioners were so in demand outside of the Philippines. I'm actually surprised to discover there's a lot of famous, well, there's really a lot of sought after trainers outside of the Philippines that are not famous. So they've been running the rounds in Vietnam, Thailand, Singapore, Malaysia. So I'm thinking ng mga neighboring countries natin, if they look at the resume, ang una nilang hanapin, is he Filipino? Oh, he's good in English. Okay, let's get him. So we're good communicators. That's other than entertainment, beauty pageants, and boxing. I think we're being recognized as good communicators.
Yeah, I think also
take advantage of that.
Yeah. One thing I said on one of my videos is I think we underestimate yung position natin in this region when it comes to literally anything in a global perspective, being globally competitive. Dahil nga, I think for the most part, we communicate well, yes, and empathetic din tayo. It's easy for us to relate, may it be Asian or Western regions. Can't say it would be the same on the other way around for Western, but you get my point, diba? Is talaga ako dun sa sayang yung first 10-minute banter natin. That's all right, it happens. Okay, so going back, one thing na parati kong, so I speak at school sometimes, and I've been asked this question twice, and that is, how how much of Western teachings in terms of books and whatever content out there that we can consume, how much of that can we actually translate locally in the Philippines? So for example, yung mga books ni Blanchard, Maxwell, and then other, you know, other resources, how much of it have you found can we actually apply in the local local arena?
I guess pretty much everything. I think there's a, except for technical stuff, for example. Can I just qualify that? Ang sad lang kasi ng reality, Mendy, is that nauna sila. So,
alam mo yun, yung parang... Ang lagging tayo, parang ganon.
Nahuli tayo sa ano, sa madaming, tawag ito, sa maraming... We're not thought leaders. Hindi tayo hindi tayo doon nakilala sa ganung arena. So ang daming nauna doon, and then parang yung mga sa West, parang ang dami nilang oras, no. So sulat lang na sulat. And then may ghost writers pa sila, and that's another industry altogether. So even if they don't have time, I mean, people would actually write for them. So natalo tayo doon, and we should just admit that and surrender to that. And so the point is, why reinvent the wheel? May nagsulat na kasi, diba? So almost 99% of the content in the West can be adapted here, especially if they're universal thoughts. Yeah. Siguro ang hindi po kayang i-adapt yung mga yung mga cultural base, yung mga and I think a lot of people will argue na magkaiba yung context, blah blah. Ano magkaiba yung context? Kung pinag-uusapan ko na rin, mental health, pare-pareho lang yan. I mean, across the board. So it's not it's not naman iba yung mental state ng Filipinos sa diba, sa West. Iba yung variables natin. So if you're gonna discuss the variables, the environment, then that is different. Pero I think when it comes to values, beliefs, human dynamics, psychology, it's universal. Grabe. So it's and that's one thing that unifies and humanizes us all, regardless of your socioeconomic class and ethnicity, diba? Yun nga lang, marami nang nauna doon. So what you can really just do is borrow it, contextualize it. But in this day, in this digital age, buti na lang, wala nang nagkakaroon ng control sa knowledge. So I think that we're also seeing that right now. Halos makiusap yung iba na Boris, can you carry this program for us? We're letting it use it for free, and then ikaw na nag-evaluate. Na tapon yan, I don't need to carry that. So parang so medyo iba na. And I'm glad that it worked to our advantage as Filipinos, yung social media, yung pagiging influencer, and I think it really put us in the map. Di ba may joke nga na wala yatang YouTuber na hindi nagbabanggit ng Pilipino o nagka-create ng Filipino content.
Para dumami yung viewers nila, no? Once we mention nila yun, yung algo, scoop up sila, you know?
Yeah. I think it, not just the entertainment side, but I think it also helped us in many ways. And recently, ang dami nating Pilipina na nanalo sa beauty pageants. So, parang people are taking our content seriously. Maria Ressa is a
Nobel Prize winner.
Laureate, I forgot. But basically, diba, parang, and you never thought that would happen, diba? If you go back to 1980s, that would not happen. Parang, pero now, because of the digital age, it has. And I think we should take advantage of that. Yun yung, so we don't have the books. Hindi tayo nauna sa books. But mauuna tayo sa blogs. So claim it, post it, and then say that you borrowed it. They can't sue you anyway because they'll probably be more glad that you used it. Yeah. As long as you acknowledge them. I just make sure that you don't violate any international rights law because they still apply. But yun nga, I think that's an advantage that we have right now.
So as a career, no, you go through... You probably speak to more companies than anyone in any room, no? If there are 30 people in the room, best believe that you probably have spoken to and have worked with, more companies than anyone on there. But, and my question is, what has been the most shocking thing you've experienced when it comes to training, or to, facilitating So any restructuring that needed to happen or any new knowledge bases that you needed to update? So obviously, di natin in-name yung company, no?
Yeah, something came to mind, but if I tell you the story, it's tantamount to naming the company, so I probably would. So I'll just give you something general. I think slightly shocking, what irritates me is when people ask you to, alam mo yon, parang brainwash their people, parang it's so manipulative. Anything. Kunwari, they tell you na it could be sales, parang it could be telling them na inspire them to sell more. I mean, para mag-network sila, so parang pyramid scam or or tell them that tawag ito, they're in a good company or they should be grateful they have a job, mga ganun tipo. Pero alam mo yan, parang I draw the line and I really tell them that I'll be very objective, but we should not really manipulate people because we're not in that business. So we're in the business of motivating people, and there's a very thin line between motivation and manipulation. As a marketing person, I know that kasi pwede ka rin mo manipulate to buy down ni, di ba? So I could, which you did. I influence basically. So but
no, as a marketer, syempre, yeah.
But because there's a manipulative way of marketing, di ba?
Yeah, that's right.
We probably don't have time to talk about that. That's kind of lengthy. Pero and that's unethical. Parang once you do that, it forces people into something that they probably wouldn't even use. So
yeah.
I think in the same manner, it forces people, and I think we're reaping that negative mindset right now. Because, like for example, during the last election, and I don't want to be political here, but we complain that people are not critical thinkers in who they will vote for. But then you condition them to believe this way, to believe that a strong hand is better than, let's say, free will and collaboration. And, you know, so when you do that, parang, then why expect more from them when you've already been, you're already partaking in that conditioning, especially if you want obedience and compliance and, and that's why we risk democracy in the process, diba? But business owners, they want that. They want their people to fall in line, and we can make them do that if we motivate them in the right way, rather than condition their mind, brainwash them, or mindset them into doing something.
Talking about motivation, what's the top three or four motivation points that you found are actually effective besides money? Usually kasi feeling ng mga tao pera lang talaga motivation.
And that's where manipulation comes in, diba? When you incentivize. Honestly, there's nothing wrong with incentivizing, diba? Parang it's like
if using the right manner.
If you reach this quota, then you get an incentive. So why not? I mean, reward and recognition is part of human psyche, and you should do that, but you should not it should not be this whole thing. The top thing is really purpose, diba? And I don't need to convince you on that. The two best-selling books right now in human history is Purpose-Driven Life by Rick Warren, according to the Guinness Book of Records, and Start With Your Why by Simon Sinek. Bakit mabenta yung dalawang yun? Because people would like to know, what on earth am I here for and in purpose ko? And nothing motivates more than your why. And if you know your parang, that's why people volunteer. That's why there's volunteerism. That's why people campaign for their favorite candidates. It's because they have the reason behind it. And when people are rallied behind the right cause, they will bend ears tirelessly to promote you, promote your products and services. And they would do things for you, and that's when sacrifices happen, and you want that to be more natural than coercive, right? And purpose is a powerful thing. The second one is belongingness. So parang module ko to, missions and membership. So parang para madaling tandaan. So your sense of purpose and why, membership is your belongingness. I mean, if kung magkaibigan tayo, I would do things for you, di ba? Parang, but I probably won't die for you, pero at least, iba, papautangin kita, or I'll give you favors, because antayo eh, bros tayo eh, magkapatak tayo eh. So if you have that in any company, that's a good motivation as well. And I remember when BPOs were saturate nila yung incentive approach, yung carrot on the stick. I was hired by as a consultant, parang from one BPO to another. And do you know what the goal is? To create that university feel. Diba? Parang UAAP, parang tumasyon ka. Pag atinista ka. So there's that loyalty. So they want to have that university environment.
Yeah,
in the
culture. Ano,
as I'm proud to be part of Teltech. I'm proud to be part of Converges. So may ganung ano, ownership. And I think that's a good culture building, so to speak. And it's a powerful motivation. Hindi kaya ng 45-minute keynote lang. Hindi yun kaya ng workshop lang. So it's a whole gamut of learning intervention after learning intervention.
Yeah, yeah. I worked with one company before who said exactly what you just said. I spoke to them because they needed, I forgot what they needed from the Philip, that data engineer chat parang ganun. And then we just got into a casual conversation and sila, they build their culture literally from hiring yung kit nila, yung welcome kit nila when you get hired. Sabi nila, that's literally where it starts. That was from there you move forward. And that's really fascinating, no? For someone to be exposed, though, in this type of work and this type of business, just relating that to Descarte, being that you've spoken to a lot of companies, you've spoken to a lot of leaders probably, what would be ano yung payo mo for people that want to either build a business or you know, go up in their career? What's the Descarte when it comes to persevering towards that? Because again, just basing off of what you've been doing throughout your entire career, you launched Downy, you launched, you know, and other unnamed brands that we talked about kanina, and then moving from that towards your passion, which is teaching, which also we forgot to mention that you probably got from your parents, and then eventually going on to be working with these big companies. Ano yung payo mo, ano yung Descarte mo for people that want to either take the same path or maybe go on ahead and follow their passion as well, leave a great career behind and follow their passion?
Yeah, I think I kind of mentioned it a while ago, and I'm just gonna repeat that because I think it's a good 3-point punch on building one's career. So it's courage, it's credibility, and it's commitment. I mentioned about courage, about putting yourself out there, and I know some people are timid, and some people eting ano kay personality ko, I'm such an introvert. And then nobody wants to change that. I don't want to change you, but you know, the courage lang talaga is putting it out there. I mean, making it known, because sometimes people don't notice it. It's almost like in a classroom, di ba? And I tell this to my kids, who are very bright, actually they're intelligent. Unless you raise your hand to recite, your teacher will not notice that you know the answer. So we need to raise our hands every now and then. You don't have to do it naman. Huwag ka naman epal masyado, parang ikaw na. Pero every now and then you have to do it so that people would just know that, well, he makes sense. He has good insights. So if you're working in a company, yun lang, parang I contribute, my mind share actually matters. If you're an entrepreneur or a freelancing consultant, I mean, you have to put it out there. Follow what Mendy's doing. I mean, start a YouTube channel. It doesn't matter how many followers you have. It's just good that it's there. Parang, para if somebody talks to you and says, magaling ka bang magsalita? Magaling ka bang mag-ano? Ito yung link, panoorin mo. And then you tell me kung magaling ako magsalita. And that automatically parang builds traction, right? So being courageous, that's one. The other one is credibility, kasi at the end of the day, ayaw natin ng ampaw. Alam mo yung ampaw, di ba? Yung walang laman. So hangin lang sa loob. So because I think matira matibay, the way it boils down is that The ones who are not substantial does not, it's not sustainable. So, and I'm speaking from experience because I started my career at a young age of 28 to 30. And I know my challenge was to build credibility. And and I was a learner. I was I should not stop learning because otherwise, parang ayaw ko maging ampaw. And I think that's the worst thing that anybody can tell me, can parang give feedback about me, that I'm shallow, I didn't know what I'm talking about and all that. So I think you should as well. And we invest in that. We invest in learning. Get somebody to mentor you. I mean, that is probably not as costly as getting a higher education, but learning from someone is just really something priceless. And then the third one is commitment, and that's where your consistency comes in. And as you know, frequency is key, diba, in any endeavor. And so the more you do it, practice makes perfect. There's mastery, and at the end of the day, that's why it's a third level. You need to become a master at what you're doing, right? So mm-hmm. whether you're a master trainer or, I don't know, master entrepreneur or master, and you get to be someone who endows other people, so people get to listen to you. So because, marami ka na ma-share sa kanila mm-hmm. based on your experience. And tenure is not the only reason you gain experience. It's really, again, I guess it's mind share. How much do you really know? How much have you really tried? And can you share those best practices to others so that they could do their best as well?
Yeah. I think all those, at the end of the day, also, parang example lang, parang after mastery and being able to have the courage to put it out there, it would lead to more opportunities, I think.
Oh yeah, it's, no? It's a cycle.
Right? It's a
I
cycle.
Think all PCs, you have to use it on a regular basis because that's how you build your career, I guess.
Yeah. You build doors for you to open. Diba?
Yeah.
Wow. Amazing podcast. Started off a little bit rough because, again, guys, I haven't been really podcasting for a year now. Got married, did what I had to do. But yeah.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you. But yeah, I hope you guys enjoyed this episode. Thank you so much, Sir Boris. It is amazing that you replied to my message when I reached out. Really happy to have you on here. Great mind. Do you want to promote anything before we go?
Well, yeah. Well, just stay tuned to my podcast as well. Just like Discarte with Mendy, I have a regular podcast called Breakthrough with Boris Joaquin. And you can hook it up from Spotify, Apple iTunes, and Google, and several others. But yeah, but mainly from those.
Okay, cool. For those of you who don't want to listen to the long form of this podcast, I will be cutting this up and I'll be uploading it onto Instagram. Follow me at Discarte with Mendy. Maybe a YouTube short over at Discarte with Mendy, the YouTube page, and also maybe even TikTok. I don't know. We'll see. This is some LinkedIn content we got tonight. But really, really happy to have you as a guest, Sir Boris. And yeah, thank you so much. Guys, as I always say at the end of every episode, may it be a podcast or a YouTube video, keep healthy, stay humble, and appreciate the small things. My name is Mendy, and this has been Discarte with Mendy.